Welcome to the Excel Still More podcast. I am your host, Chris Emerson. It is my great pleasure today to announce to you a new and additional sponsor for our program. Tyler Kane is a friend of mine and a brother in Christ, and he is a senior loan officer for Fairway Independent Mortgage. Tyler and his team have extensive knowledge of the mortgage industry, and their dedication has made them a trusted partner for many wonderful families. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance or talk about future home ownership goals, Tyler and his team are here to guide you every step of the way. We've included a link to their website in the show notes, or you can reach Tyler directly at 813-380-8487. Thank you so much for listening today. Let's get started. Hey, welcome. I'm really glad you are here today, especially if you saw the title and decided to wade in anyway. I'm really appreciative of that. As it indicates, today's content will invite you to look at the more challenging and maybe even unwelcome events and circumstances and maybe even people in your life and to put faith in the good that God is doing. I hesitate to say see the good God is doing because you may not be able to see it, not for a long time or maybe not even in your lifetime or in the physical realm. But the concept that God is putting you through hard and asking you to embrace that hard because of some result that demands it, that can lead to significant shifts in your attitude, which will dictate better behavior and end up bringing those great results that God intended all along. I guess what I'm saying is hard has two possible outcomes. On the one hand, if I resent it, if I try to avoid it at all costs, if I have a bad attitude about it, I basically guarantee that hard will equal bad. But if I can at least appreciate what is possible through it and maybe even see that some outcomes demanded it, well, that's really going to change everything. And it brings about this optimistic possibility that every stage of your life, the easy and the hard, all equal good under the guidance of God. And I'm convinced that can produce a peace that's really untouchable by really anything that might come your way today. So that's a short synopsis of where we will be going today. I want to back up just a little bit and for just a couple of minutes and tell you about my year so far, only because I want you to understand that today's concept is not something I read in a book that I thought you might like to try, or something that I read years ago or just heard today. This is a phrase, hard is good, that I have recited in my mind every day for the last month. Multiple times each day, I say it in my own mind, and several times each week, I say it out loud to someone who's in my life, either reflecting upon some of the things that I am going through or to try to connect to some of their trials. We need to look at hard things the right way. Now, let me be really clear. Hard isn't what we wanted, most likely. Hard certainly isn't easy. It's literally the opposite of that. Hard isn't the way I would draw it up. I like easy, and I wish God could always accomplish his work through that avenue. Hard doesn't necessarily mean happy or joyful or awesome. And because all of that is true, the initial thought is this hard thing that I didn't ask for and I don't like is bad. And that's the first impulse that we have to fight. I do not want to make today's episode about my own life. I want to use a couple of other examples and really try to get you to think about your own. But just to set a little context, I had a conversation with Summer, my wife, on January the 1st. I said, this will be the most drama-free year of our lives. We're going to lay low, focus local, stay out of any kind of debates or disagreements that can affect others. And that prophecy of 365 days of bliss lasted about 2 weeks. And from mid-January through March the 1st or so, the hits just kept on coming. Some of it was deserved from things I'd done before that snuck up on me. Some of it felt very undeserved and unfair. Some of it revealed that relationships I thought were really, really strong weren't. Most of it was very, very hard on my wife and myself and my kiddos. And it opened up uncertainties for the future that brought anxiety. In other words, it was really, really hard. And my instinct was to say, this is bad. This is going to be bad. And this is going to produce bad things. So I was definitely right about the first part. It was hard, hard to see, hard to hear, hard to experience, hard to know what to do. And I'm sure you have things like that in your life where I'm really trying to take this today. because it was hard. I didn't handle it all perfectly. I don't know that I'd do that even when things are easy. But then what seemed terrible started producing great things, great conversations, great interactions, great opportunities to make things better. I started to see great kindness in others, great compassion in them. And somewhere around a month ago, I started to whisper in my mind, maybe hard is good. Maybe this was a good thing. Maybe this is exactly what was needed to get to peace. And around halfway through saying those things, I actually got to a point of thanking God for what had happened. Thank you for that event. Thank you for what that person did. I did not want it to happen. I did not want to have to go through it. I didn't want the sleepless nights. I didn't want to have to face my own guilt. And I also didn't want to have to defend my own innocence. And yet, God was at work. And there have already been results that would not have been possible without a series of hard and needful and transformative days. So to turn all of that away from me to someone else, let me tell you how this has lived a little bit in my conversations with my son, Luke. He's a really great kid. I have all good things to say about him, but he is 20 years old, and that is a very difficult age to try to figure out where you're going to designate your time and what your goals are and really what life is all about. So one morning, we had this conversation about what his options are, and we laid out two of them. Option one is he can continue his education here at a local university, and he can continue to play golf for that school. But the reality is that is very, very hard. First of all, golf is just very, very hard. But there's a fall season for golf and a spring season. There's really no break in terms of school. That particular sport demands hours and hours of practice. And the team is really good this year, and he's kind of in the middle of the pack. And the only way to travel or to procure his scholarship moving forward is going to mean a lot of grinding and effort. In the midst of that, life is very heavy for him. I remember being 20 and feeling this. He's got his education, his commitment to family and church, and a significant other. And so one of his options was to try to keep all of that juggled, probably put the pickleball paddles away a little more often, and just put a lot more time in on his golf game. His second option is a slight deviation of that. Stay in school, keep balancing all the important things and relationships in his life, but give up collegiate golf and the scholarship that goes along with it, and in its place, work a 30-plus hour a week job to compensate for that. And so he and I were talking about that over breakfast. It was not a contentious conversation. I was letting him kind of build it out for himself. And then he said this, "Dad, it just sounds like both options are bad." To which I responded in a gentle and friendly tone, "Luke, nope, you're wrong about that. Neither of those options are bad. They're just hard. In fact, the way I see it, both of those options are very good. If you stay on the team, you'll find the time, you'll do better, and you'll finish your education. If you decide you don't want to pursue that, you'll find a job that will be hard, but it will provide easily what you need to cover the scholarship costs, and maybe your mom and I can stop paying for your date nights." Okay, so I didn't say that last part, and I'm pretty sure he does pay for his own dates. But my point to him was, you probably will have to choose one of these paths. And if you've already decided that they're both bad, then you're creating a whole attitude issue that's constantly going to be in the way. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Neither of them are easy. There are some other options we could have put on the table that were easy, but it turns out usually easy is bad. We didn't talk about this on that day, but in previous conversations, we've looked at some other possibilities, like slowly pursuing your education but not playing golf or working full-time. That would be bad for you and for Summer and me. Or quitting school and golf and just getting a job at a car wash or something and hoping that somebody shows up and gives you your dream job. Both of those options, relative to the two that are actually on the table, are a whole lot easier, and they almost guarantee less than good results. So in his case, it's like, look, you're 20. I'm not going to make this decision for you. You're a great kid, and you make good decisions once your attitude is set in the right place. You go choose your hard. Your mom and I will back you, and the result will be not just good things, but probably great ones. And look, Luke's been working through that, and I use the word working on purpose, like hard work. You just keep laboring towards something because you know the results come out of effort, and he's got some great mentors in his life that I think will probably prevent him from quitting anything. He was out working on a short game today. But from a parent's perspective, I wanted him to know I'm with you, whichever challenging road to better that aligns with your purpose and your priorities that you choose. But please don't instinctively connect the words hard and bad. Instead, when possible, and I know this doesn't cover every scenario, but as far as it is possible, connect trials, challenges, and hard with progress, possibility, and greatness. Now, before we're done today, I want to take you to James 1, and I want to talk to you about the tremendous potential of trials from a quote that I heard recently. But before we do that, let's back away from my life and Luke's life, and maybe even yours, and let's look to the stories of what God accomplished in the scripture. A couple of weeks back, I was with a friend of mine in Bowling Green named Gerald Barr, and he said, you know, God never did anything small. He always did big things. There were things he could have accomplished on a small scale to get the results that he wanted, but he chose to be huge with it and impact as many people as possible. You can look at the way he created the universe and its expanse and its size. You can look at him designing through Noah's actions this enormous boat and flooding the entire world. You can watch him choose one man and an elderly bride to bring forth the beginning of an entire nation. You can see him parting the Red Sea and allowing the Israelites to walk on dry land. The virgin birth, resurrection from the dead, the Holy Spirit baptism of Acts 2. God could have accomplished all of what he wanted to do in every one of those places through much, much smaller, milder, more passive means. But when God wanted to do something good and establish his goodness in this world, he usually did something amazing, something good, something big. But if you went back through every story that I just listed after the creation, every story that involved humans, was any of that easy? Did God say, you just stay passive and I will do this amazing thing? Or I will make this as simple as possible, as easy on you as I can, writing you into a life-changing story but only giving you a couple of very simple lines? No. All of those roads to good, to great, to incredible were the result of hard. It was pretty hard, I'm sure, for Noah to spend about 100 years building a boat, preaching and teaching all along the way. It was hard, I'm sure, for Abraham to leave his homeland and travel in tents for the duration of his life, only to be asked to sacrifice the very son that was born to his wife at the age of 90 and that he'd waited his whole life for. God did intervene there. He brought goodness and blessings to him immediately, but not until Abraham had made a very hard and challenging choice. It was very hard on Moses to go back to the people and to put his life on the line before Pharaoh, and to lead them to freedom on dry land with walls of water on both sides. Mary and Joseph's life, Jesus' life, torture and death, and the commitment to martyrdom of all of those apostles. All hard, all good. In fact, Scripture occasionally notes people who just didn't want that. People who didn't understand why it had to be so difficult, like Judas. People who weren't interested in the costs, like Demas. They chose short term. They chose leisure now. They chose easy. And all they got out of that was bad. There's a Bible passage we read a lot when we get into conversations like this, and I think it would be a good ad today. James chapter 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. To me, that says that God is always at work for his good in building us, in constructing you, in molding you and training you. And just like clay in a potter's hands, those thumbs have to push in a little bit to change the shape. Without force applied, it cannot become what it was destined and designed to be. So that renovates our attitude. This is akin a little bit to the episode a couple of weeks ago about the 5 scariest minutes. How do I use episodes like that and connect positive things to it? Lessons learned. But this time I'm asking you to look more in terms of present trials and challenges and looking forward to what God may be doing. God is looking for servants who have endurance. But how can I have endurance unless I have to carry some weight? God is looking to complete us, to raise us to our highest level. And that, by definition, is going to take some pulling and some stretching. I don't always know what he's doing. I may not even in my lifetime get to see what good he is working through my life and yours. But I know what to do when I don't know what to do, or when I don't know why it's happening, or I don't know if I can handle it. And that's verse 5. I ask God for wisdom. But notice, that verse didn't say, ask God to lift the burden. Ask God to remove the trial. Instead, I'm asking God to help me understand my need for it. I'm asking God to help me see what good is being accomplished that could not have been done without it. And that's kind of the beautiful revelation that I've discovered in the last several weeks, and I hope that Luke can continue to uncover in his own life. Attitude is everything. It doesn't mean I welcome it, or I like it, or I wanted it to happen. I mean, I'm still bummed out that we didn't get 365 days of Kumbaya. But by faith, and really only by faith, would we welcome tests. If they make us better students in the near term and help us graduate to different stages of life in the future. Now look, I don't know where your mind is today as you think through what this means for you. Unfortunately, it means you may have had to visit some darker places, kind of like that episode about scary minutes a couple of weeks back. This asks you to think about what is hard in my life right now. I've prayed for relief. God has said that would not be great. Easy would not get us where we need to be, which sounds great in a podcast, but if it's a troubled marriage or battling cancer or intense internal turmoil or incredible mistreatment by others or people you love who aren't serving God or unrelenting financial distress, much of the time, we just get caught up in, how do we make this less hard? Why won't God make this less hard? What could he possibly be doing by continuing to allow this incredible challenge to exist in my life or in the life of someone that I love? And that's kind of where today's episode has a little fork in the road. On the one hand, there are opportunities that are in front of you to grab onto the hard thing to get you to the better place, or cop out and choose the easy thing in the short term and miss out on what God is doing. And yet, on the other hand, there are hard things that you did not ask for, that you did not want to happen, that are happening to you, in you, or around you, where you didn't get that choice, and you're just wondering why it's happening. So I would love to hear your feedback on this, and this is probably a controversial thing to say, but firstly, I'm just going to lump those things together because they are realities. They are real-life situations that represent things you need to deal with today. And while you've listened to my episodes, I'm all about work smarter, not harder. If there is an easier way to do a hard thing, then go for it. And certainly, if there is a way to make your marriage easier or to get cancer out of your body, pursue those things. But so long as they are in your life and a part of what God is allowing to take place in your life, I think we should employ at least some sentiment similar to Romans 8 and 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Hear me clearly, I know that there are some limited ideas in that context, and I also know that cancer is never good and sin is never good, and we're not calling those things good. We're just announcing that through it all, God is good, and what he can do with me through it can be great. And it may just be that that great outcome that pleases him will not be possible without the trial. Which leads to maybe an interesting question to conclude with. If you prayed that the most challenging thing you're facing in your life was removed from you, which I'm not saying is a bad thing to do. The Apostle Paul did that. And sometimes God has ways of getting to good that aren't quite as tough. But if you prayed for that and an angel came to you and said, God will make this easy. He will put you on easy street. He will take the entire burden away. But you need to know that the outcome will not be his will. That what will come of it will not be the good that he wants to bring out in you. Can I just ask you something here at the end? Would you still want him to do it? Would you give up God's great big plan for your life just so things could be easy? I don't think you would, and I don't think I would either. So let's keep praying for ease and help and relief, But so long as God sees fit to keep challenging choices in front of us and burdens that He asks us to carry, I invite you to keep telling yourself, and maybe even a few others, that hard is good. Thank you so much for listening in today. If you enjoyed this program, will you share it with someone you care about? One thing I've learned over the years is the best way for the program to grow is for friends to tell people how valuable it's been for them. Speaking of friends, let me once again commend you to give John Cunningham a call. He and his team have a wide variety of tools to help you use your present budget and life to build towards a more secure and hopeful financial future. Once again, you can reach him at 205-326-7364. And always remember, whatever you choose to do today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, excel still more.